We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Some of you are frustrated and even upset and angry about America. I get it. Can I say to you that the answer is as simple as it is that we answer the phones in our hearts that God is ringing. And He's asking, will we register people to vote? Will we get them to the polls to vote? Will we hire the people that will take our values to this city? And will we fire the ones who refuse to hear not only our hearts, but God's heart?
It's former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee speaking recently at the Values Voter Summit. Now, agree or disagree, what you can't deny in his comments there is the reaction that they have garnered from, well, generally from the political community, but especially in a Time magazine column that was co-authored by famous atheist Richard Dawkins titled, "Atheists Aren't the Problem, Christian Intolerance is the Problem." Joining us to talk about this column and what Richard Dawkins had to say there, Ken Samples. He's senior research scholar for Reasons to Believe, based in Anaheim, California, and he's author of several books, including Without a Doubt, Answering the 20 Toughest Faith Questions. Ken, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. It's good to be with you.
Is atheism itself, and this is kind of one of the things that people often assume, sometimes atheists even assert it or imply it strongly, is atheism itself morally neutral?
Of course not. No worldview is morally neutral, and the world of atheism is called naturalism, so everything is reducible to physics and chemistry and biology, but of course not. And Richard Dawkins has all kinds of moral assertions without very good justification for them.
Is there a basis in atheism itself as a worldview or philosophy or whatever you want to call it for an objective morality?
I don't think so. I think it's a very hard thing for them to do. J.L. Mackey, who wasn't one of the new atheists, he was one of the old atheists at Oxford University. J.L. Mackey said that if there is objective morality in the world, built into the world system, he said it probably came from God. Now, of course, he was an atheist, and he bit the bullet and said, well, I don't believe in God, and I don't believe in any objective morality. But I think objective morality goes away if you adopt a naturalistic worldview. It's just very difficult to know how anything could be objective when it comes to morality.
There are various levels of consistency within atheism on that particular point. Some will be quite honest, as you just mentioned, and say, look, if there is a morality, it has to come from a transcendent lawgiver, so to speak, a God. I reject God, therefore I reject any kind of objective morality. Then there are those who are not so consistent, who will still use terms like right, wrong, who will use them as, say, maybe they use them unthinkingly. Sometimes they'll root them in the conventions of the community. But when you press them, and I have, Ken, with atheists here on the air, they have a hard time saying, with regard to some things like the more heinous crimes, child abuse, things like that, they have a hard time saying that those are not, in some sense, objectively wrong. What are we seeing there, Ken?
Yeah, I think that's right, and your experience has been my experience. I think many atheists certainly want to condemn things that they think are heinous, they think are evil, they think are wrong, and many atheists would want to live a lifestyle that adopts a view of morality that is objective in nature. But Todd, at any moment, another atheist could say, wait a second here, maybe a lot of us do kind of like something like the Ten Commandments. Maybe we'll cut out the theological orientation. We'll adopt kind of the moral principles. But an atheist could come up and say, look, I don't buy that. Why, if God doesn't exist, if the universe is going to end in a heat death, nobody's going to have the last say but death. why should we necessarily follow these? So it's true, they may root them in kind of social conventions, but 50% plus one, I mean, what if Hitler comes to power and he changes the whole orientation? I think one of the deepest problems with atheism is the inability to explain certain things like objective morality, like sacrificial love, like a human longing. All of those are very difficult to justify in a naturalistic system.
Here is how Richard Dawkins and his co-author in the Time magazine column reasoned it out as atheists. They say that unlike Christians who believe that there's another existence, a better one, outside the temporal, atheists, humanists, and freethinkers believe that they have one life and one chance to do something meaningful with it, no supernatural arbiter to fall back on. With no supernatural arbiter to fall back on, unbelievers know it is up to them and them alone to promote justice, compassion, and a fair society. Does that do the trick for establishing a rational basis in atheism for morality?
I don't think it does at all. In fact, again, I mean, what if Joseph Stalin, he was an atheist, and he said, well, I've only got 60 or 70 years, maybe I'll oppress people and enjoy that type of situation. It seems to me they're cherry-picking in that article. I mean, atheists often like to point out things like the Crusades, Inquisition, Salem witch trials, but they're troubled when Christians kind of turn it around and say, well, what about dialectical materialism? This was a philosophical system, and its foundation was materialistic and atheistic. They will often say, yeah, but that's not my atheism. Well, why couldn't the Christians say, well, we didn't quite agree with everything that's been done in church history that we think is very negative? So it still seems to me that the atheist is kind of engaging in some form of special pleading. You know, we'll follow these in a neutral way. The reality, we all have a worldview. We all are coming from a point of view. And I think the atheist would be better off simply to be quite candid about things, and that is that they struggle to have a foundation for morality.
I want to take Dawkins' statement apart a little bit more with you, if we could, here. He talks about atheists believing that they have one chance to do something meaningful with their lives. What becomes of meaning, period, under atheism?
Well, exactly. That's a great point. I mean, some people might say, yeah, I've got 70 years, you know, I want to help the poor, I want to ensure that there is some sense of justice in life. But what happens in the end? There's no final judge, there is nothing is said after death. And, of course, a person could say, well, that's fine for you. You want to live that way, but I may want to do something very different. And it's again, the idea that, you know, an atheist will often say something like this: there's no meaning to life, but there may be meaning in life by choice. My response to that, Todd, is to say, think of all the things that you have no control over. You have no control that you're born. You have no control what chromosomes you get. You have no control the parents that you're exposed to or the philosophy that you've adopted. I don't think that an atheist has the requisite control to create meaning in a world that cosmically has none at all.
The other thing that he says there, and he uses these terms kind of as though they are supposed to mean something from an atheistic perspective, and I wonder if they even can. He says that it is up to them and them alone to promote justice, compassion, and a fair society. Well, in an atheist worldview, who decides what those words mean?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, what foundational principles? The truth is, Todd, that, yeah, there's been a dark side of Christian history. There have been times where so-called Christian people have engaged in things that were wrong. But hospice was created by the early Christians in ancient Rome because there was nobody to care for the dying. Science itself emerged from the 17th century Christian Europe. education, many of these social issues of rights for minorities, getting rid of slavery, Christians have played a very important role. And I don't think that I'm cherry picking to say that those kinds of compassion and issues that Dawkins is talking about, that's kind of borrowed Christian capital. We care about justice, we care about compassion, but we have a definition for it, and we ground it in a metaphysical God who has revealed himself. So those are interesting comments, but again, Joseph Stalin was an atheist, and he had a lot of power, and he didn't believe in any of those things.
What do you make of the claims there in the column that the real problem here is Christian intolerance? First of all, how is that being defined from an atheistic perspective?
Yeah, it's interesting in the article. I often talk about what I call the golden rule of apologetics. Treat other people's arguments, even those whom you disagree with, the way you want yours treated. Be fair, be respectful, give the benefit of the doubt. In the article, language is used like the religion of the sword, the latest bit of hate, warped intolerance. This is engaging in emotive language, character assassination. Richard Dawkins, just a couple weeks ago, Todd, said that children in the womb who have Down syndrome should be aborted. So how do they? That's a great question you've asked. Exactly what do they mean by tolerance? And who gets tolerated? Whose beliefs get tolerated? You know, it could be that Huckabee maybe mixed some ideas together between religion and government in a way that maybe Luther or Augustine wouldn't agree with in terms of the two-kingdom idea. But it seems like what this article has done is they have read everything Huckabee said in the worst light possible, and I think they did it intentionally because there is all this news about intolerance in the Middle East, ISIS, warfare. I think they were priming the pump.
What do you mean by that?
I think people right now are very conscious of the problems of religious intolerance, namely radical Islam. I think they were using that context to really try to be unfair to Huckabee and other evangelical Christians in America.
We're talking with Ken Samples. He's senior research scholar for Reasons to Believe, based in Anaheim, California, about a recent Time magazine column co-authored by Richard Dawkins, famous atheist, about atheism, morality, and tolerance. When we come back, about another 10 minutes with Ken. Stay tuned. You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Talk radio for the Christian worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the Scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Ken Samples is our guest, and we're talking about a column in Time Magazine written, co-authored by famous atheist Richard Dawkins on Christianity, morality, and what he alleges is Christian intolerance. Ken Samples is senior research scholar for Reasons to Believe based in Anaheim, California, and he's authored several books, including Without a Doubt, Answering the 20th Toughest Faith Questions, and A World of Difference, Putting the Christian Truth Claims to the Worldview Test. You can find out more about these books and Reasons to Believe under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Ken, I want to pick up where you left us there before the break, talking about how they are priming the pump with all the talk about intolerance in the Muslim world, kind of trying to draw a connection between this and Christian intolerance. Do you think they are attempting to subtly or not so subtly basically argue for a moral equivalence of Islamic intolerance and what they allege to be Christian intolerance in the United States?
I think when you read the article, you recognize that Dawkins and his co-author, they are fond of kind of lumping things together. I think the language that they use, again, religion of the sword, hate speech, warped intolerance, it seems to me, Todd, that they're doing it. They're saying, look, it's in everybody's consciousness. We're seeing ISIS, evil. Eye to eye, they commit these heinous acts. They are forcing people to accept their religion against their will or die. And I think there is a sense that they're kind of projecting that onto Mike Huckabee and maybe other evangelicals in America. When in reality, Todd, if you look at kind of classical Protestant thinking, there's always been the idea that we want to distinguish between the civil kingdom and the eternal kingdom. Again, Huckabee may have, he was at a political action committee. He was kind of giving kind of a raw speech. But I don't see any of direct intolerance. I don't see Huckabee saying, you know, we should bump off people or fire people. Huckabee probably could have been more careful. But again, it seems that Dawkins reads everybody's words in the worst light possible. He wouldn't want us to do that to him.
So how should we deal with this when kind of around the water cooler? Because there are examples of people who do advocate for a kind of intolerance in the name of Christianity. Someone could hear, I know you read it a little differently, but someone could hear Huckabee saying, fire the non-Christians out of government work. How do we respond around the water cooler with the atheist saying to respond to that?
I agree with you. There are people, I think, who might take a stronger view. Todd, I like to say this. I think that Christians should be both tolerant and intolerant simultaneously, and I'm not violating the law of non-contradiction there. I'm simply saying this. We should be tolerant of people. What I mean is respectful of people. They're made in the image of God. We respect them because what we know from our Creator and from the Scriptures. At the same time, we should be intolerant of bad ideas, ideas that are contradictory, ideas that are deeply flawed. We can disagree with people and yet still express a sense of tolerance, a sense of respect. I don't agree with your position. I think it's flawed. Here's why. but when it comes to you, I'm going to treat you graciously. I'm going to extend to you respect, and I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt until you show me that I should no longer do that. You can be tolerant of the person, but you should always be intolerant of false ideas, things that are wrong. And when people tell us things that are contrary to historic Christianity and contradicted by Scripture, we should point those things out. And I think we live in a world that has really misunderstood what genuine tolerance really is.
Ken Samples is senior research scholar for Reasons to Believe, based in Anaheim, California. He's authored many books, including Without a Doubt, Answering the 20 Toughest Faith Questions, and A World of Difference, Putting Christian Truth Claims to the Worldview Test. Ken, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to continue our series on the liturgy of sickness, dying, and death. Pastor Will Wheaton will join us. And we'll also talk with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer about Christ in the Old Testament in the fifth chapter of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. Look, it's not just a lack of clear thinking. Read through the Time magazine column and you'll see that in spades, a lack of clear thinking, the inability or at least the unwillingness to respond to substantive arguments against atheism and against atheism's claim to be a reasonable basis for morality. It is also kind of the general ignorance, maybe we might even say darkening of the mind, that Scripture warns us about. This is a world we've been called to live in. And as thinking Christians, we do it faithfully. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoota, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoota.com.